Johnny Cochran died of a brain tumor yesterday at the age of 67. He established his reputation handling police brutality cases, but he became best known for his high-profile cases, which turned Cochran himself into a celebrity. In 1994, he represented Michael Jackson in his first child molestation case. In 94 and 95, Cochran led O.J. Simpson's team of lawyers, the so-called Dream Team. The case that Cochran said meant the most to him was the case of Elmer Geronimo Pratt, who was a leader of the Black Panther Party when he was convicted of murder in 1972. Cochran was part of the team that convinced a judge to void Pratt's conviction and won his release from prison in 1997. I spoke with Johnny Cochran in 1996, 1 year after O.J. Simpson was found not guilty of murder in his criminal trial. Cochran had just published his memoir, Journey to Justice.
Would you have defended O.J. Simpson if you had serious doubts about his innocence or if you thought he was actually guilty?
It depends. You know, sometimes you have clients who will come to you and say, I'm guilty. I want you to work out the best deal you can for them. And in that case, you enter into a plea and the case is over with. If you had a client who you believe was guilty or who told you they were guilty, you could defend them, but you certainly could not call witnesses that would fly in the face of what you knew to be the facts or the evidence because he'd be suborning perjury. Of course, we didn't have that problem in the Simpson case because O.J. Simpson always, to everyone on that defense team, has always maintained his innocence, and everything that he told us that we checked out always checked out.
You've been criticized for making the O.J. Simpson case a case about race, deflecting attention away from Simpson's actual guilt or innocence. And a lot of people say, well, sure, O.J. Simpson was African-American, but in this case, he wasn't a victim of racism as much as he was the beneficiary of celebrity status. What do you say to that?
People who say that don't really understand the facts. Let me just indicate this to you. First, long before I ever got on the case, race had become a major issue. If you recall, when the case was transferred from Santa Monica, downtown L.A., people raised the issue, well, gee, they're going to have a different racial makeup of the jury. Time magazine took Simpson's photograph and put it on the cover and darkened it significantly. Always the indications of race. But perhaps the telling feature was Mark Furman was called by the prosecution. They knew who he was. They knew he was a virulent racist. But yet then he was a key witness in the case. They put him on the case. As a lawyer involved in the case, I had nothing to do with race from that standpoint. Long before I entered the case, in the July issue of 1994 of New Yorker magazine, Robert Shapiro had told Jeffrey Toobin in that story, the story about the police detective who he believed, the racist police detective who planted the glove. Now, I then come into the case. My role was to deal with credibility of witnesses. Under the case of Davis versus Alaska and other cases, where you have a witness who has racial animus, and he's a key witness in the case, that racial animus, it goes to his bias, where he says he would plant evidence, or he says that if he saw a black man driving down the street with a white woman, he would make up a reason to stop them. It becomes the lawyer's job to pursue the evidence and the credibility of the witness. This witness was not credible, as evidenced by his perjury plea. If I were not to pursue that, or any lawyer were not to pursue that, it would be malpractice, pure and simple. So the rest of this is just folderol. People who say don't know what they're talking about. We would have committed malpractice, and you talk to lawyers who try cases, and they'll tell you, we did our job. I didn't raise any issues. I dealt with the issues that are already there.
In your final comments to the jury, in your concluding comments, you said, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. Who came up with the rhyme?
Jerry Ullman. That was Jerry Ullman's original rhyme. He shared it with me early on, probably in June, July or so, and I liked it and embellished upon it a little bit. But it was clear, and it occurred maybe a little after June, because it was really tied into the ill-fated glove demonstration by Christopher Darden. And because, you see, they spent so much time saying, okay, these are the killer's gloves, and now, okay, Mr. Simpson, if he's the killer, these gloves will fit him, right? And of course, the gloves hadn't shrunk. They were the exact same size, and the gloves didn't fit. And it just followed that if the gloves didn't fit, the jury would have to acquit.
Now, how'd you feel going with a rhyme in your concluding comments? A lot of people felt, well, this is kind of like coming up with a little rap or a clever slogan or something. And is the concluding comments a place for slogans?
I felt excellent about it. And you're still talking about it. The jurors were still talking about it. You have to graphically demonstrate things so people recall them. You know you've done your job in an argument when, number one, they tell you in law school, if the jurors or a juror starts to cry during your argument, which happened, and number two, when the jurors come out and they quote what you have to say. And to this day, in fact, if you go to the courtroom in Santa Monica, even now in the civil case. Those people who believe that Mr. Simpson is innocent, there's a recent article in the LA Times, are still articulating the argument that we gave. And people who believe he's innocent can better articulate, according to this article, the reasons why he's innocent than people who say they believe he's guilty.
Robert Shapiro wanted you to be the lawyer that cross-examined Mark Furman.
That's correct.
Right, and he thought it would be just particularly dramatic to have an African-American lawyer cross-examining this white racist cop.
Right.
And you decided, no, you weren't going to do it. You were going to have Effley Bailey cross-examine Furman. Well, why didn't you want to do it yourself? Why go with Bailey instead?
Okay. In the book, you'll remember that I had spent much of my career in handling these police abuse cases. Our firm had won over $45 million in damages against cities and counties in the state of California in the decade of the 80s. So this is something I did and was pretty expert at. Credibility of police officers. But because I didn't want to enhance this whole issue of race, the picture of the black lawyer cross-examining vigorously this white police officer, something I didn't want to have that image there. And I felt that here was a person we knew was lying. And so I, despite Shapiro's protestations, said, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to have Bailey do it. And I think I made the right decision. Seemed to lower the tensions, etc., and I think it was appropriate, and I would do the same thing again.
Johnny Cochran, recorded in 1996. He died yesterday of a brain tumor. He was 67.